Today on Real Radio.
Let me ask you a question. Be careful how quick you answer. Does God always hear us? Be careful. The answer to that is surprising. The answer to that question is no, God does not always hear us. So what?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at the New Testament letter known as 1 John. In fact, we're in the final verses of the last chapter of this five-chapter epistle, and as the Apostle John wraps up this letter, he leaves us with some admonitions, some thoughts about praying in accordance with God's will, as well as avoiding sin. Now, one of the best ways to avoid sin is, well, you guessed it, through prayer. In other words, the two simply go hand in hand. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Pausing for Power.
Pausing for power gives us the boldness that we need tonight to be successful Christians. Verses 14 and 15. Pausing for power gives us the boldness we need. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that is in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, and that's a very confident statement, by the way, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we've asked of Him. Such bold statements, isn't it? So the first thing we see here in verse 14 is that this boldness that we have, this boldness that's given, is given for us to speak the truth of God. Can you note that this evening? Can you jot that down? Is to speak the truth of God. He says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. My goodness, to speak the truth. Listen, we can come before God. We can come before man. We can come before devil and speak the truth, the Bible, because God has embedded it in our hearts. The psalmist says, I have hidden your word, O God, in my heart. What? That I might not sin against you. So we speak the truth of God. Pausing for power gives us the boldness to speak the truth of God. When we pause for power, we can speak the truth of God both in a positive and in a negative. That is, we can give encouragement to people, listen, and we can turn and if called upon, and it's biblical, rebuke someone, correct someone. We can encourage and bless and exhort, or we can turn and be in the Holy Spirit and rebuke, correct, and admonish, both for the positive and negative in its application. If we pause for power as Christians, if we take time to be with God, we will come out with a new and energized power to speak the truth of God. We won't whimper from it. We won't hide from it. When a cult knocks on our door, we won't hide. Honey, you answer the door. No, man, we say, come on, hey, did I hear a knock at the door? Man, you open up that door and because you've paused for power, you've got the truth of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells us, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from me. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and Chino Hills. Well, it says to the ends of the earth. That's here. Acts 4:29 says, now, Lord, they prayed, look on their threats and grant to your servants that which all boldness we may speak your word. Pause for power. Speak the word of God. Gives us boldness as we pause. Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, gathered together, a church together, was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they jumped up and down and rolled around on the aisles and swang on the chandeliers. No, it didn't say, no, it says they spoke the word of God with boldness. But this word confidence is a radical word here. And God says it's for us. And I don't want you to forget what this word means, confidence. He says, now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Do you? Well, let's see. Confidence. The word in the Greek means an outspokenness that was not there before. It can also be translated enthusiasm. You've gone through this word study before with me, but if you haven't been here lately, enthusiasm is reserved for the Christian only. It needs to be taken out of every and any dictionary that does not have its correct Noah Webster's definition. En, enthusiasm. En is Greek for indwelling. Theos is God. Enthusi, God. Indwelling God. Asm is action or activity. God dwelling inside of you causes activity. That word enthusiasm is reserved for the Christian alone. Oh no, I'm a car enthusiast. No, you're an idiot. You can't be a car enthusiast unless the car is inside you and it generates your reason for living. Yeah, that's right, I'm a car enthusiast. A lot of people are like that, you know. It means that they're possessed by their passion for their car or whatever it might be for you. Maybe it's money. But in the true meaning of the word, enthusiasm is indwelt by God, which produces action, confidence, an outspokenness that wasn't there before, like enthusiasm, a frankness, straightforwardness, an ability to bluntly put the point or matter across with love, to reside in assurance. What a great meaning. All of this is wrapped up in this word confidence. The second thing we see in verse 14 is that this pausing for power gives us the boldness to talk to God with assurance. To talk to God with assurance. We can talk to him boldly. Listen, it says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Did you hear that? He hears us. What's the prerequisite? Ask according to his will. Find out what his will is and then talk to him about it. Say, well, I'm afraid to find that out. Why? He wants what's best for you. Did you know the good stuff that you have in your life? Do you know where it came from? It came from God. The good stuff that you have came from God. He should be blessed for that, praised for that. See, Lord, I want to know your will. Listen, praying according to the will of God doesn't change God's will. Now, Lord, I'm going to go to prayer and I'm going to change your mind on this matter. No, the great thing about prayer is going to prayer before God and our hearts get changed toward and into the will of God. Prayer changes us. That's what it does. And we can talk to God with assurance. I love how John introduces, notice this, how he introduces prayer. He says that if we ask anything, he didn't even use the word pray. If we ask anything, just like you and I talking together. Hey, can I, you know, borrow your barbecue? Oh yeah, sure, I'll bring it by. It's just like a conversation. May I? Just like we're talking. John says, hey, the next time you're talking to God, talk to him about answer prayer and praying according to his will. Just talk to him. Christians just talk to God. We've got this thing in our mind that we, if we don't have calloused knees and if we don't have some monastery that we hide in, that we're really not praying. I'm not mocking those things. I think we all ought to have our personal, private, secluded hide away with God. Personally, I think we need that. But prayer is an attitude. I'm going to talk to God every moment of the day, all the time. And listen, quite frankly, I hope and pray it can be said of you in this church that we really never stop praying. We just talk to God all the time. That when we call a prayer meeting, it's simply because we're going to come together and do it because we're praying all the time. Are you God conscious? Then you're praying. It's an awesome way to live. James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, he says, you have not because you, yeah, ask not. Well, he makes it kind of sound like you're saying that God wants us to just start asking all the time. Uh-huh. All the time. Don't you think you and I need help all the time? Well, I know, I'm doing pretty good. No, you're not. You need to ask him all the time. All the time. Why don't we ask him more often? And why don't we ask him for more stuff? I don't mean things. I mean stuff. God stuff. Lord, what kind of God stuff do you want to do in my life today? Lord, you know what? What do you want from me for the rest of the year? Where do you want me? I tell you, that's an e-ticket prayer. Put your seatbelt on when you pray that. Because God says, what was that I heard? He's giving me carte blanche to his life? Oh man, now I can do something. Talk to him. In Luke 11:9, the Bible says, "So I say to you," Jesus is speaking, "ask and it will be given to you." Sounds like he's begging us, huh? Ask, it's going to be given to you. Seek, you'll find it. Knock, it's going to be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it's going to be opened, he says. You kind of get the sense that God is saying, come on. My kids are getting older now, and as you get older and you see your kids start going away, you start thinking, you know, hey, let's sit down and talk. And they go, what? What? Sit down and what? They want to go, man. They want to get. And it's like, wait, what's the hurry? Hey, any of you young parents, hang out with your kids now. Hang out with your kids all the time. Hang out with them. Because those little stinkers will be up and gone in a minute, you know. Enjoy them now. And what are you going to enjoy? Talk to them. Can they talk to you? Can they come up and say, hey, Dad, without getting their head chewed off? Or what? What's it now? Can you imagine? God, what? Nothing. I'm about ready to get in an accident, but it's okay. God's not like that. He's saying, come on, ask. Will you ask? Come on, anything. Come on, go on, ask. Pausing for power and coming to him in prayer. We pray according to his will. It says here, listen, John says, God hears us. Let me ask you a question. Be careful how quick you answer. Does God always hear us? Be careful. The answer to that is surprising. The answer to that question is no, God does not always hear us. Say, what? Yeah, in Psalm 66:18, but more specifically in Isaiah 59:1-2, the Bible says there, surely, if you're named Shirley, you should listen to this very carefully. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying the same thing that it's like with your child when they have done some horrible wrong, and the next moment they turn and they say, hey, what am I going to get for my birthday? You say, go to your room, I'm not talking to you. That kid is still your child and that kid is still yours, but fellowship has been broken. A Christian is still a Christian when they're in sin. They're still a believer. They're still God's child. But can they say, yeah, Lord, I know I'm sleeping with my girlfriend, but bless my life. God says, I'm not even listening to you. I'm waiting for one word from you, and that is, Lord, forgive me, I repent. A couple words. To the believer, God says, I'm not listening to you when you're in sin. I'm waiting for one thing, and that is, I repent of my sin. God says, great, now sit on my lap, and let's talk about blessings. But until that's done, I'm not speaking to you about any privileges that you might think that you have with me until things are right. He's a wonderful parent. God will not hear us when we hold iniquity in our heart. Isaiah 1:15 tells us, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers to me, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of evil. He always hears us, though, when we pray the prayer of repentance, always. The third thing we see here under this point is in verse 15, and that is regarding pausing for power, which gives us the boldness, and that is to know what is ours in Christ. To know what's ours in Christ. He says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition or petitions, those things that we have asked of him. The word petition here is specific, something asked, requested of, desired of. It could be a person, a place, or a thing. It could be about a person that you're praying for them. It could be about a place, a country, a city, a home. It could be about a thing. God says, I'm going to hear you. You pray to me according to my will. I will hear you. Isn't that great? Aren't you excited? I'm glad about that. Makes you want to pray, doesn't it? Yeah. He'll hear us. He'll do something. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's great prayer, beautiful prayer, He says in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, now here's how an apostle prays. So you want to learn your prayers from these guys. "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That's a big thought. "That he would grant you, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power of God that works in us." Oh, man, that's a prayer. So yeah, it sure was a prayer. You know what? That's an impossible prayer. That's the way God wants us to pray. Impossible prayers. "Lord, I know this and that and they and whatever all failed, but God, I'm coming to you. You hold Jupiter in your hand. You're spinning Pluto on the end of your finger. You cause tides to go up and down. You bring air in and out of my lungs, and I'm asking you to make my mortgage payment." And God says, "Is that all? I can do so much more." Point number two tonight, pausing for power grants us the ministry. The ministry. Pausing for power grants us the ministry, verses 16 and 17. "If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask," that is pray. He will pray, he will ask, "and he," God, notice capital H, "God will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death." You say, what is he talking about? Well, hang on. "There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that." Verse 17, "All unrighteousness is sin." And there is a sin not leading to death. Death. So what is he saying here? Well, very quickly, I want to run through this. Number one, there are sins that Christians can't commit that will take their lives. Do they go to hell? No, they go to heaven. But there are sins that Christians can commit that God will take their life from them. Then there are sins that Christians commit that God does not take their life from them. Those are the sins that you and I commit. They're the ones we did today. So, oh, thank God I'm still here. Well, at least you are right now. Say, what are you talking about? Well, first things first. Pausing for power grants us the ministry, and that's all of us as the body, not hired staff. That's not who he's talking. He's talking to the church. First things first, verse 16, grants us the ministry of watching out for one another. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin, what's implied here? Well, first of all, he's saying sinning a sin which does not lead to death. It is implied that it is not a sin that is destroying the name of Christ publicly. It's not destroying the honor of the church. It's not sinning against one's own soul, which sexual sin is. A Christian can be involved in sexual sin, and God could take their life for it. Bible teaches that clearly. But let's first of all look at how we are to watch out for one another. We have a ministry. Every one of us do. Now listen, how many of you are Christians in here? Raise your hand. You know what? Each and every one of you are ministers of the gospel of Christ. You know what that means? That means you're supposed to watch out for me. It doesn't mean you're supposed to watch me. I mean, you can watch me. I don't know what you're going to see, but I mow my lawns on Monday, and I don't know what it is. Sometimes people drive by my house really slow, and they're looking, and I feel like such a jerk because I'll have, you know, I'll have like a tank, workout top on or tank top, or sometimes when it's 103 like it's been, no shirt at all, and I think, oh my gosh. And then they drive by really slow, and I'm not looking. And there's a sticker, and it's got the "Jesus says, come after me" sticker on the back of the car. And I'm going, oh, no. And I just run with my lawnmower, just trying to get it done so I can get into the sanctity of the backyard. I'm safe. That's not what I'm talking about. You're to watch me, and I'm to watch you so that we can take care of each other. And here's where Christians freak. Because we might come up and say, hey, Mike, I saw you at Susie's house. And like your car was there late at night, and in the morning I left at 5 o'clock and your car was still there. And I know you guys love the Lord, but it doesn't look good. Hey man, what are you saying? I love you. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying it just doesn't look good. Somebody could come by and they could think, so what do your neighbors think? They don't think anything. I had somebody tell me this to my face. I said this. I said, hey, and I'm not going to say his name. This doesn't look good. And the guy chewed me out. And 3 months later, they were pregnant. But it just doesn't look good. If I love you, you're saying it doesn't look good. Be careful. We're to watch out for each other. Not by, oh, look. Sinner at 4 o'clock. Sinner at 4 o'clock. Bring in the, get a Bible. Get a concordance. Nail him. Hit him. No, man, it's like, hey, you know what? This is this thing, I saw you. Are you okay? I haven't seen you at church. You all right? You okay? You know when you're not doing well, it's when somebody says, are you okay? And you go, what are you asking for? We are to be looking out for one another. The Bible says, Galatians 6:1, brothers, if someone is caught or overtaken in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch out for yourselves in the process, lest you also be tempted. I have no respect at all for Christians who, when they find out their Christian friend or a Christian comrade has fallen down, that they level their aim and their sights on that downed Christian and say, well, look, he's been winged. Let's put him out of his misery. Let's just shoot him here and now. You know what? Christians are supposed to be dedicated to restoration. Yes, there's a precept and plan and a protocol to restoration. Yes, there must be repentance. And yes, there must be restitution and then installment. But there's a process to reinstate people. Thank God Jesus is that way. We better be that way. Remember in Genesis chapter 4 when Cain killed Abel? God says, hey, where's your brother? And what did he say to God? You know, it's one of those scenes where you kind of want to just be God for a minute and go like this. When he says, am I my brother's keeper? You snot-nosed little boy. You know, that's kind of how I see it. Cain killed Abel. And God says, Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Hey, and the word in the Hebrew is, am I my brother's shepherd? Am I supposed to watch over and take care and keep my eye out for my brother's welfare? That's what it means. You know what the answer to that question is? Absolutely, yes. Am I my brother's keeper? And God could have said, yes, you are. Because he was. And so are you and I, one toward another.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the final verses of 1 John chapter 5. The title of this lesson, Pausing for Power. It's a study on how taking and making time for prayer helps in avoiding sin. Pausing for Power is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John himself, the Apostle of Love. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're getting pretty close to the end of this New Testament letter of 1 John, and soon we'll be taking a look at 2 and 3 John. Now, people are getting in touch with us and saying, hey, I got to get a hold of this 1 John series. So we've decided to make it available on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Now, again, here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's series in 1 John all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, just mention this 1 John series. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or give us a call if you'd like. The number is 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.